Praise God. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Praise God. This message today came about from God. I was laid in bed. I woke up. I don't know why, but I woke up. I think it was Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and God was talking to me. And I thought, okay, Grace, it's time to listen. And he was speaking to me about the scripture, and it's found in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It's a very obscure book. So if you're not too familiar with it, just sit back and listen. And the scripture is, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So I thought, well, God, what are you wanting to say on this? And it just kept flooding in. So here we go. Let's go for it. Father, I thank you that your spirit just prompts us, feeds us, encourages us, strengthens us. Lord, we're nothing without your spirit. So, Father, we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to minister through this word in Jesus' name. Amen. The background to this session, in Zechariah chapter 4, the background, these are the words of the prophet Zechariah. And he was speaking to Zerubbabel. Strange name. Zerubbabel was heir to the throne. And the children of Israel had been in captivity. And they were being released. And Zerubbabel was about to take the throne of David. And 13 years earlier, there had been an attempt to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And it had failed miserably. And God in this passage was warning them against human effort. He was saying the power of God and not human power will rebuild the temple. And he's saying the same to us. It's not by your project, it's not by your agenda, it's by God and his spirit that this place will be filled. Human effort alone achieves nothing in the kingdom of God. However, human effort, together with the power of God and the Holy Spirit, yields everything that God wants. Praise God. So there's the agenda. It's by your spirit. And I'm so excited because these past few weeks, God has been emphasizing, by my spirit, by my spirit. And it's not coincidental that on the next time when Bible school starts again, the subject is the power of the Holy Spirit. Listening to the Spirit of God, recognizing his voice. We have to tune in and get this old stinking thinking out of the way and let God speak. Amen? So, and just as an aside here, Zechariah 4 and verse 6, its numbers are very significant because chapter 4, the number 4, is the world number, God and man. God speaking to man is number 4, and the verse is number 6. And what's the number of man? Number 6. So nothing happens by coincidence. Everything with God is by design. Even where the book is in the Bible, and even the number of the book, and the chapter of the book, and the number of the verse. It's so important that we know and understand the Word of God, because it's our weapon of warfare. When the devil's throwing everything at you, pick this up and say, shut up, it is written. And read it to him, because he hates to hear it. But you need to know the truth. The phone call we had today, bless the heart, real seasoned Christians, sat in church forever and a day. But you know, there is a time when the devil will get you, and if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know who you are, he will take advantage and he will keep piling his rubbish on you. And you have to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you have to know the Word of God. You have to know what your rights are. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. So, I just want to read a few verses, and this is in the message. And it's Zechariah chapter 4, and I'm reading verses 1 to 5. The messenger angel called me to attention. It was like being awakened out of a deep sleep. He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top, 7 lamps, each with 7 spouts, are sat on the bowl, and there are 2 olive trees, one on either side of the bowl." Then I asked the messenger angel, "What, sir, does this mean?" Well, the candlesticks represent the church. And it's Christ, if you read, if you want to make notes, Revelation 1, Christ in the midst of the church. And this is a message to his church. The 2 olive trees, one on either side of the candlestick, are feeding a ceaseless supply of oil to the candlestick. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. So what is being fed to the people of God? The Holy Spirit is being fed to the people of God by His Spirit. The church of God has to be flowing in the Spirit. There's no other way it will stand. Amen? It's not by works, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And God is calling us to attention. And he is saying, you're not here to fill a pew. You're here to listen and recognize the voice of my Spirit. Because that's the way that this church will be established. And I'm telling you now, it will be established. Because we have the Word of God. Amen? So, I just want to, you know, Jesus, how did Jesus come out of the wilderness? He was tempted in the wilderness. And what does it say in Luke chapter 4? And Jesus came out of the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit and power. Now if Jesus going through temptation, you know, when the devil puts you through his rubbish, it's to try and kill you. But he can't do that. All he does is make you stronger. So that's why God doesn't deal with him yet, because he's working really in God's favour. When the devil wants to put you out of action, God is there. He's your strength, he's your power, and he's your deliverer. And you've got to know that. And he wants to prove himself to you. And so, that's what it's all about. And Jesus had to stand against the devil in the wilderness there. But when he did, when he came out, he was full of the power of the Spirit of God. Now, if Jesus needed to be full of the Spirit of God, how much more do we? You're not going to do anything without the Spirit of God. Praise God. A church without the Spirit is dead. We all go through the wilderness. And as I said, the next session on Bible school is listening to the Spirit of God. So, in the New King James, verses 6 and 7 of this chapter, say, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. For who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel?" Zerubbabel, the heir to the throne, was filled with the Spirit of God. And he was strong, and he said, "Who are you, mountain, to stand in my way. I've got God's word in my mouth. And you will come down. Amen. You will not stand against the word of God. You will become a molehill. Woo! Amen. God's word in your mouth will reduce that stupid situation that the devil has brought against you, and he will bring it to a molehill, and you will trample it underfoot. Amen. Because that's the power of God in you. Amen. And Zerubbabel shall bring forth the finishing capstone with loud shoutings of the people crying grace, grace to it. And I thought, I don't understand that, God. So I said, God, why did they shout grace to it? Straight away, two scriptures shot into my spirit. For by grace you are saved, through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. That is found in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. You didn't get saved by what you did. By the grace and the power of God, you are saved. And don't you think you're not, because you are. The devil will tell you you're not saved because you've done this, you've done that. You are saved. We are saints. We'll get it wrong occasionally. But God's not got a downer on you. He's for you, not against you. And 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. My grace, he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And what did Paul say? When I am weak, then I am strong. Because it's not me, it's not my power. It's God's power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Devil, you're no threat to me. You're under my feet. That mountain is not going to be there much longer. You will come down. Who do you think you are? Amen. We need to know who we are. And so in verse 6 in the message, it says, God's message to Zerubbabel, you can't force these things. They only come about through my spirit, says God Almighty. So, big mountain, who do you think you are? Next to Zerubbabel, you're nothing but a molehill. Zerubbabel had got God's word in his mouth, and it was powerful, and it brought that mountain down. And it'll bring your mountain down if you've got God's word in your mouth. It's as powerful in your mouth as it is in God's mouth. As it was in Zerubbabel's mouth. So pick your Bible up, and this is why it's important you get to Bible school, because you need to know where to find it. Yeah. And if you're really flummoxed and you've got a phone, just stick the keywords in on Google, and it will bring it up, and you'll find it. You know, use the devil's tools for good. Verse 8. After that, the word of God came to Zechariah. Zerubbabel started rebuilding this temple, and he'll finish it. No doubt about it. That'll be your confirmation that God Almighty has sent me, the prophet, to you. Well, we had a prophecy 20, 30 years ago now, and God described this building to us. Well, here we are. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Nothing we did. All praise to God. He brought it about. But he gave the vision to Andrew and I when we were in America. And I really felt God was saying, I've given you to head up this vision. I've put lots of people alongside you, and there's more to come. But I've given it you, and you started it, and you'll finish it. not in your power, but in the power of God. Amen. By my Spirit, this place will be filled to the glory of God. And then it goes on to say, does anyone dare despise this day, a small beginning? The devil really loves to put you off, doesn't he? It's always, nah, nah, on your shoulder, in your ear, is just an annoyance. There wasn't any there today. So-and-so was missing. They're not going to come again, you know. And so-and-so's, and he's nattering on. Well, just tell him, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, said the Lord. Amen. That this mountain shall be removed and this place shall be filled to the glory of God. Remember Nehemiah? What happened to him? Sanballat and Tobias. They were full of scorn. But you know, Nehemiah said, I'm not listening to you. I'm not coming down to meet with you. Shut up. You have nothing to say to me. God has said he will do it. And what was the result? The walls were rebuilt in 52 days. That was a record bursting attempt. Achievement. Praise God. When God is with you, you will break every record. You will do the impossible because God is a God of the impossible. We at Harvest Fields are facing a big mountain. What is it? It's knowing what part we should play in God's plan for reaching this huge community. And it's huge. When you drive around it, it doesn't look all that, well, it does. It looks fairly big when you drive around it because I can get lost so easily. I just need to turn and I'm thinking, look where I am now. My compass is not as good as Andrew's. But hey, God gets us there. But if you walk around it, it really, really is big. So, what's God's plan for us regarding this community? Well, I know one thing for sure. Human effort won't achieve it. Forget it. So what's our part? Well, I think the first part is to recall everything that is done so far. And rejoice like we were doing just now. Belt it out. Rejoice in the miraculous events that have happened already. I'm telling you, the acquiring of this building is a miracle from start to finish. When the devil sent a challenger in at the last minute to try and steal it off us, God sent a man from Newcastle. Well, he sent him 6 months before from Newcastle to live in Wheatley Hills to attend a dead church that was making the decision about who should take this building. They had the responsibility to make the decision who should have it. And they were all in favour of another group having it. And this man spoke up and he said, can I just say something? He said, I know Andrew. I've known him for 30 odd years. And he gave him a good character reference. And he said, that man's solid. He loves God. He's got a heart for people. And when he finished, they changed their minds. They voted and they said, oh, we love it. And then that God moved that man out of Wheatley Hills, sent him somewhere else in the country. Don't worry, God's got it all sorted. He knows who to move into place the right time, in the right committee, to give them, make them make the right decision. Oh God, his eyes are roaming to and fro throughout the earth on behalf of those who love him. He's working for you continually. He doesn't miss a trick, not a trick. And he works against the devil and turns it in your favour. Thank God for faithful people who have given sacrificially and worked tirelessly on this project. Without them, it could never have happened. And it's even more of a miracle because the majority was 70 odd years plus. We had one fantastic, totally committed young man. It even wore him out. But God renews our youth. He renews our strength. And he says, when you put your hand to the plough, I'll give you all the strength that you need. Go for it. Don't ever let the devil back you in a corner or tell you it's impossible. If God says it, that's it. It'll happen. What God has started, he'll finish. And every obstacle will be swept aside. Let me tell you now, he's dealt with every obstacle that we are yet to encounter. We win. Amen? Can I have an amen? Amen. Amen. We win. Two. So the first thing is we need to rejoice in what God's done already, bringing us to this place. The second thing is, we know for certain that God has promised to bring in an overwhelming number of people. Because when Andrew and I were in America and the Marty Gabler, the prophet there, gave us the prophecy. We went about 6 years ago and he gave us another prophecy. And he said, God is going to do for you what he did with Peter when he had that overwhelming catch of fish. The net could hardly take it. He needed two boats to bring it in. Whoa, I don't know what God's going to do, but I know it's big. And we need to think big. We need to speak big. Because God's big. Big, big, big. And the only thing that can limit him is your narrow-minded thinking. You think, what I see is what it is. No, it isn't. This is nothing. You're not seeing it. See it from God's vantage point. And I just want to look at Luke chapter 5 and verses 1 to 11. Luke chapter 5. Verses 1 to 11. Again, this is the message. Once, when Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. Jesus noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and they were out scrubbing the net. Jesus climbed into the boat that was Simon's, which was Simon Peter. And he asked Peter to put out a little from the shore. And sitting there, using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. Jesus borrowed Peter's boat to preach from. When he finished teaching, he said to Peter, "Push out into the deep water and let your net out for a catch." Peter said, "Master, we've been fishing all night." We have been working all night. We. They were trying to do it. And we haven't caught a thing. But he did something very smart. He said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." Well, sometimes, in fact, I think frequently, when God speaks to you, in the world's eyes and in the natural mind, it seems stupid. It doesn't make sense. But who knows that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And when he tells you to do something, don't get reasoning for it. Don't try and understand it or work it out. When you've heard him, just do it. Amen? Peter was a seasoned fisherman. He knew that you didn't catch fish in the Sea of Galilee in the daytime. He fished at night. And they fished all night and caught nothing. Reason would have said to Peter, there's no chance that you're going to catch any fish in the daylight. But he didn't listen, he acted on the word of God. Verse 6 says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Oh, God, the God of abundance. Don't limit him. Don't you dare think he can't do it. Because he's going to do it. No doubt about it. God's a God of multiplication. Always, always. Think big, expect big, speak big, see big. He can do abundantly above more than we can ask or imagine. And in verse 8, Peter was so awestruck that he felt totally unworthy to be the benefactor of such a huge reward for the hire of his boat. I love this. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. Master, he said, leave me. I'm a sinful man. I can't handle this holiness. When they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon Peter and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were co-workers with him. Jesus said to Simon, he said, don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women. And this is what speaks to me. James and John and Peter, they pulled the boats onto the shore and they left everything and they followed Jesus. Total commitment is my third point. The first one's rejoicing what God's always done, or thought, what God has done to this point. Second one is know for certain we've got God's promise and he will fulfill it. And the third thing is he requires total commitment from us. What was the verse we discussed on Wednesday night? Matthew 6 verse 33. You should know it by now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you want the best in life now, plus eternity, Jesus requires that you leave everything and follow him. Total dedication, total commitment. It's not popping in and out. It's not saying, well, circumstance, I can't make it to church today. You need to be here. As often as this place is open, get inside and listen to the Spirit of God. He has a lot to say to you. Hearing the Word of God is what builds faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Don't expect to work miracles or listen or hear the Holy Spirit. You're never in his presence. You've got to be here to hear him. Human effort won't work. We've got to listen to the Word of God. And I just want to relate this quickly because it is important. It just gives you an example of how powerful the Word of God is. And some of you will have heard it before, but I just think it's very relevant here. I can't remember how many years ago now, but probably 30 odd years ago. We were in a church that we'd been in for 20 years. And Andrew was totally involved full time. I was there, I was working, but I was still involved, committed, totally. And we'd reached a point where it was stalemate, horrible situation. And God said to Andrew and to me, it's time to go. And that wasn't too difficult for me. I didn't like going then anyway, because I'd had enough of it. It was dry as old sticks, and, you know, things needed to change. The Spirit of God needed to have his way. But the cork was in the bottle and it wasn't coming out. So God said, all right, if that won't come out, you're coming out. Well, I didn't have any problem with it, but Andrew had a terrible problem with it. Because we had 50 young people who we loved to bits, and he was to take to the seaside, and we'd chuck them in the sea, and we'd have lots and lots of fun and laughs, and we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. We threw ourselves into it. And it was Andrew's life. It was his job. It was everything to him. And when God told him to leave, he said to me, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And I said, Andrew, they've nearly killed you spiritually. We've got to go. And he said, I can't do it. So what does a good wife do? Nah. Well, you know what a nagging wife is? It says in Proverbs, it's better to live on the corner of a roof than with a nagging woman. Well, they weren't pitched roofs, they were flat roofs. But, hey, you'd be happier, God says, on that corner of your roof. Get away from her. And that was what my natural reaction was. And then God, one day I was in, I can't remember where, but I picked up an article in one of the Faith magazines, and it was written by, can't remember her name, but she wrote this article, and it was called Zip Your Lip, and the title just attracted me. It was only a short article. It was, but it hit me, it was God, and he said, Grace, do it. And she was saying, zip your lip and let God do what God does. Not by work, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So I said to God, all right, if I've got to be quiet and step back, get out the frame and let you do it, what are you going to do? I was picking the Bible up. It's the most automatic thing for me to do. And even if you're not really familiar with it, sometimes I've just opened it and boom, something jumped out of the page at me. And I think, oh, he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you need. So don't hesitate to open it up. But I opened it up, and it was Isaiah 51 and verse 14. And this is what it said. Talk about spot on. The captive exile and he who is bowed down with chains shall speedily be released. He shall not die in the dungeon, nor shall his bread be lacking. I thought, whoa, if ever I'd heard from God, that's it. So I wrote it out and I stuck it on the mirror. I put it everywhere that my eyes looked. And morning, noon and night, I stood on that scripture. The word of God is active and living. When you speak it, it goes into action and it creates the circumstances that are necessary to fulfill the promise. It's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Ooh, that's some sharp sword. That's the sword that's in your hand. The mightiest weapon you've got. Hit the devil with it and cut him to pieces. Amen? Well, I did that. And you know, when you stand on the word of God, the devil comes along and he starts to nag in your ear. And then, so often, circumstances turn the wrong way. And he's saying, the devil's saying, look, it's not happening, nothing happened. No. And you've got to take your eyes off there and get your eyes on the word. Say, it is written, is all I need to know, devil. You're out the frame here. And he was. The following 12 months were a roller coaster. And sometimes it went to the Big Dipper. So don't expect a smooth ride. But God wants to know, will you hang on to his word? But God fulfilled his word to the letter. To the letter. Andrew said to me, we're going. God's spoken to me, we're going. And as he walked out of there, in a small rage that he had, somebody approached him and said, you've got an engineering background, haven't you, Andrew? We've got a manpower service scheme and we'll pay you to teach these kids engineering. Well, it wasn't anything that you particularly would inspire you. But it was a means to an end. God fulfilled his promise. Nor shall his bread be lacking. I'll give you the money you need. Don't let the devil intimidate you. God's bigger than your mountain. Amen? When God has spoken, it will happen. God will remove every obstacle that stands in the way of the promise. Our responsibility is to get in tune with the Spirit of God and unreservedly follow his leading. This quote sticks in my head and I can't get away from it. Jesus didn't live in reaction to the devil. He lived in response to the Father. And when you've got that, Jesus did not live in reaction to the devil. If you listen to him, he'll send you spinning. And you'll be like a headless chicken, not knowing what to do. He'll have you running round and round and round and round and round in fear. But you've got to live in response to the Father. You've got to stop your emotions. You've got to get rid of this fanatic in the attic and listen to the fella in the cellar. And the fella in the cellar will be saying to you, fear not. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. All you need is one scripture from God. Wipe the devil out of the frame. You know, don't bother going to the gym to relax. Get in the Word of God. That will relax you. Put one of these sermons on. That will inspire, it will lift your spirit, and your spirit will respond to the word of God, and everything will change. We need to be anchored in the word. As soon as the devil brings something contrary across your path, you need to have your sword out and say, no, because it is written. This is what's going to be, not what you say. I'm not looking at you. This is what God said. That's the end of the matter. Okay? If we don't do that, we'll live in reaction to the devil. He'll have us running round like, as I said, headless chicken. When God has spoken, yeah, I've said, circumstances will start going in the opposite direction. Never let the devil wind you up or convince you that it won't happen. The very fact that he's saying such things is a sure sign that it will happen. And he's running scared. And I think it says something very similar to that in Philippians chapter 1. So, I rest my case. But I would like to say, if God has spoken to you, and you need to take some action, then don't hesitate. Do it. God is on your side. Get with the program. Get him on your side. Get with him. He says, follow me. Follow me. And if you want us to pray with you, if you want to come out and pray us to pray with you, we'll gladly do that. But make a decision. Devil, you are not running steamrolling over me. I know who I am, and I might only be 5 foot tall, but inside I'm a giant. All right? We're giant killers. And we're going to bring him down every time by this. It is written. Amen.